Bless you. Okay, we got to get this on record. I know you could probably hear me without a mic, those that are physically here, but we got to do this so that we can get it recorded, folks on Facebook Live and in free conference call live as well. So today is Pentecost, as we've got that one nailed down, right? It is Pentecost. What I wanted to share with you is something a little different than maybe what I would normally do on Pentecost, but I want to challenge you. I want to challenge each and every person that hears this message, be it live, Facebook, free conference call. I want you to envision yourself to be what God has called you to be. What God did on Pentecost is the culmination of what He really wanted so bad, and it took thousands of years. It took His Son to die. It took His Son to be raised from the dead and the gift of Holy Spirit given on this day of Pentecost. And now we are in His family. And we are filled, we are loaded with great spiritual abilities. And so I'm going to challenge you to be a visionary. A visionary. What is a visionary? A visionary is a person that thinks about a situation that is not normal, that is not everyday, but it's something beyond what man might think is easy to do. Visionaries see beyond the present state, and they see not what is, but what could be. And what could be when the Word of God is held forth in the hearts of hungry souls. So my goal in teaching this is to make you more of a visionary, that you will act on your godly abilities and qualities that makes you a life changer, someone that someone else would greatly benefit from. You know, there's power in taking charge of your life in pursuing dreams and aspirations and what God has called each and every one of us to do. A visionary ignites transformation. And transformation happens when the Word of God is held forth with the love of God. You know, I looked in the Internet for visionaries. Give me some examples of some visionaries. Net. He didn't talk back to me. I don't have a relationship with Siri, I guess, so. But up on my screen came a bunch of names that were famous visionaries throughout history. Here's a few of them. Aristotle, Muhammad, Nelson Mandela, Mahatma Gandhi, Gorbachev. I don't know how he got in there. Winston Churchill, Marie Curie, Thomas Jefferson, Shakespeare, and many, many other people. But what was amazing, there was nobody in the Bible on this list. And I looked at list after list after list. But there was one Bible person, Moses. Interesting, huh? You know who the greatest visionary was besides our Heavenly Father? Jesus Christ. You know it. You know it. Wow. Yeah, he was the greatest visionary. He saw beyond what was happening in the everyday life, didn't he? He envisioned a family. A family with sons and daughters with eternal life and Holy Spirit. Quite a vision. You and I are part of that vision, aren't we? We are a very big part of that vision. And we can take part in this vision big time. Well, let's take a look in your Bibles, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 4. And do we have some of these verses? Yes. Thank you very much, Jeffrey. Jeffrey does a great job. I just throw him the verses and he makes them look beautiful on the screen. But here we go, John 4:31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him an In-N-Out burger to eat or something? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are already white to the harvest. What was Jesus Christ's vision? To do the will of the Father. To do the will of the Father who sent him, and to finish his work. What a visionary. It was not about what others wanted, or hoped, or thought he should do, but it's what God wanted him to do. Another wonderful visionary in the Word of God is Paul, the Apostle Paul. And let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 9 and 10, For I am the least of the apostles that are not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Well, if you know a little bit about Paul, he was a bad, bad man, wasn't he? I mean, he was right in there throwing people in prison, making sure they wouldn't talk about the Christ, and seeing people killed even. And yet God called this man. And so he turned his life totally around. But he still had a background, didn't he? How do you live with the background that he had? He did. He figured it out. Let's read on. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and this grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which is in me. God's grace allows us to be his children, to hold forth the words of life, to walk and talk with the Heavenly Father, and to be visionaries. God will give each and every one of us a vision of what we can do in the body of Christ to hold forth the words of life. We all have a calling. Do you know what your calling is? What vision has God put on your heart that you're excited about? Why are we living life? What's the purpose of life? To live for our Heavenly Father. To live for our Heavenly Father and to do His will. That was Jesus Christ's meat, wasn't it? His meat wasn't In-N-Out burgers. It was to do the will of the Father and finish his work. And what a privilege we get to do that too. You and I get to be visionaries, just like Jesus Christ. Amazing. You know, you're not going to be on TV, probably. Reporters won't come to you and say, what visions do you have for this world and to change things? But God will recognize you. Our Heavenly Father will talk to you. And He will work mightily within you to will and to do of His good pleasure. So I'm excited about living life. I am 78 years old today. I can't imagine being that old. That's old. But I don't feel like it. I'm excited for the years ahead. Because I know God has great things for me to do. And man, how exciting is that? To know that God's going to walk and talk with me and I'm going to be able to do great and wonderful things for Him. And I'm so grateful. And to do it in a family with you all, man, you can't beat it. We better get into a verse here. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Now, if we stopped there, it would be a sad day, wouldn't it? But, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Wow. See, that's our lifestyle. To live as sons of God, as daughters of God. What a visionary truth. We don't have to settle for the mundane, everyday things that go on day by day in our life. Yeah, we have to put up with a lot of stuff. But in our heart, we can have burning, a great vision of what God has called us to do in the family of God. He has a vision for all of us. And you know what? You're so important, each and every one of you, that He had you in mind before the heavens and earth were formed. You might not believe that, but will you believe God's word? Ephesians 1:4. According as He has chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Oh my gosh. God knew you before He made mountains and streams and stars and everything else. And He did so. Do you think He'd have a purpose for your life? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Man, we get to be visionaries. And God does exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, right? So that's how big our vision can be. Really can. Wow. He knows you. He loves you. And He has planned for you to be a success. You are a success in His eyes. I don't know what God has called you to do and be in the family of God. But let me share this perspective with you. If you share a little bit of word or love somebody where they go and believe God, get born again of God's Spirit, get saved, that alone, that one act of helping one person get born again is worth your life living. What happens when somebody turns to the Lord? The angels rejoice in heaven, it says. Wow. So we've got a mission. We got a big mission. And it's exciting. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in this world. How do you shine as lights in this world? Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, nor labored in vain. If you're speaking the word with love, your life is not in vain. You're doing something wonderful, beautiful. So how do you feel right now? I'm asking a question. I'd like to get a response. How do you feel about being a visionary for the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father? Are you into it? Are you? I hope so. I think there's some great days ahead. Great days ahead. You know, when you speak in tongues, you know you're engaged with the Heavenly Father. That's why I love speaking in tongues. Because I could be out of fellowship and thinking crazy stuff. But boy, when I start speaking in tongues, I'm back in action with the Heavenly Father. I love it. I love it. I love it. I would that you all speak in tongues. That's what the Word says, huh? So we want to speak in tongues much. That'll help us in our vision of walking with the Father. I know it will. Yeah, big time. But what about our ministry? We have a little old ministry here called Acts Now Fellowship. And we do have a mission. You know, I know we don't have a lot of numbers, and a lot of people look for numbers. We look for results. And our mission as a ministry is to equip believers by providing a loving community in which to grow. You know, the fellowships, the home fellowships we do, the Segovias and others, provide a community, a loving community where people can hear the words of life, in which to grow. Preaching of the gospel, teaching regarding our Lord Jesus Christ, and in the demonstration of the Spirit of God. So that's our mission as a ministry. So I want you to be visionaries. Are you signed up to be a visionary? I hope so, in your heart with the Father. Talk to him today, tonight, sometime, and really zero in with your life on how important you are to the Father. He'll talk to you. He will give you some things to do that'll just blow your heart. And what a life to live like that. My goodness. We want to take charge of our life. The world will push you around. You let it. But you take charge of your life. You set your vision, what God has put on your heart to do, and do it. And do it. And do it. By the grace of God. Ask him. Talk with him. Listen to him. God wants the best for you, and he will help you. God's loving visionaries. Well, I want to close this teaching by sharing Romans with you. And Romans, what we're going to read here, refers to Abraham. Now, do you remember Abraham in the Old Testament? Old Abraham. How many kids did he have when he was 98 years old? Zero. I mean, I know there's an Ishmael in there somewhere, but what God wanted him to have with the right woman. Zero. But God promised him he would have kids as the sea of the sand or the beaches or whatever. I'm trying to put it in a Southern California translation here. But Abraham believed God. Let's read this. This is Romans chapter 4, 17. And listen to this or look in your Bibles. As it is written, I have made thee, and I know I didn't give this to you, Jeffrey, sorry. I have made thee a father on many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old. He was 99 years old plus. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And this is important here, we're closing out this teaching. I want you to be visionaries. So this is the climax here. And being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was also able to perform. We've got to be persuaded. Are you persuaded? Yes. Make that confession. Your confession gets the ball rolling. You confess the word. Now, I know sometimes we might confess the word, but in our heart we're kind of troubled. That's okay. That confession is a great start. Because if you keep talking to yourself long enough, you'll talk yourself into it. You keep your head in the word and see what the word says who you are in Christ, you'll start believing it. You start listening to God and you'll hear his voice. And then you can be in that category of fully persuaded. So let's be fully persuaded in our vision to stand in the family of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have called us, that we have the privilege to be your kids and to be in a family that, oh, is so loving and caring. And that has purpose. And that we can have great vision, Father, because of the truth of your word and who you've made us to be. So thank you, Father, that on this Pentecost Day 2025, we can be visionaries. We can move ahead and see your word move around the world and through the hearts of each and every hungry soul. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you.